you are invited to join the Fueled by Faith membership community. Inside this membership, you will have access to a Telegram text thread where you will find other female leaders that are getting filled by the Holy Spirit daily. You will also have access to our monthly virtual Zoom calls that are all about connection as well as getting the word and being connected to the women that are inside the community as well as the Lord and the Holy Spirit inside this membership. There's also a monthly meetup for those of you that are local to Wilmington, North Carolina. But don't let that hold you back. If you are not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, we are looking to grow the Fueled by Faith community within the next couple of years. Let me bring you into the global vision that is starting here with this Fueled by Faith community here in Wilmington, North Carolina. For those of you that are looking for community, that are looking for in-person meetups to meet other faith-based and driven women that are leaders inside your community, we are looking to expand in the next couple of years where you can have access to a Fueled by Faith community right in your backyard with ongoing chapters that continue to add and pop up. This is where we are headed in our vision, and we would love nothing more than to hear back from you if you're not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, if you would be interested in having this in your community, where that's located at, and giving you the blueprint of how we can get that started. If you want to join the membership or you're looking for more information on how to bring Fueled by Faith closer to you, just send us an email at info@sheassistyou.com or find us on Facebook inside our community and send us a message at the Fueled by Faith community page. Welcome to the Fueled by Faith podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vermeer. As a wife, mom, and business owner, I found myself stressed, anxious, bitter, and overwhelmed the majority of the time. Constantly taking care of everyone else, getting to my agenda, you know, the basics, food, water, working out, devotion, and quiet time. If I had the time, which either rarely happened or was just a check off the list, it was when I was searching for a community of women that I could invest in and get support from. God spoke through a friend of mine that this is something that I would create. So here we are, the Fueled by Faith podcast, giving female leaders like yourself a fill up so you can be encouraged, equipped, and empowered daily by plugging into the Lord and allowing Him to overflow in your life so then you can overflow into others, ultimately moving the needle forward for the kingdom of God. So sister, let's dive in. Hello, Fueled by Faith sisters. Do we have a message for you today? And I am so glad that you are here. And we have a special guest today. And it is a dear new friend of mine, Leslie Gaudette. And she is here to pour into you guys using her story, using how God is using her. And I cannot wait for you to hear what she has for you today. But let me give you a little bit more insight of who we have on this podcast and this show today. She is a motivational speaker and an international best-selling author, self-care specialist for busy female entrepreneurs and professionals. Does that sound like you? Listen in. She helps entrepreneurs and professionals just make self-care their number one priority so that they can stay sharp, focused, and wake up with more energy and intention to tackle their day and activities with confidence. So Leslie, thank you so much for being on today and being patient and just being here for what God has today.
Oh gosh, thank you so much. I am really, really excited about today. I've been looking forward to it all week.
I know. You guys, I just want to give you some insight of one of how good and how big our God is, right? That social media can bring women like me and Leslie together for a greater good. Leslie is in Florida, correct?
We're here in Wilmington, North Carolina, and we are both here for a God-given purpose. And it's so beautiful that we were able to connect through social media and just be sisters in Christ, even though we're far away from each other, that we still have this partnership and this sisterhood even far away. And it's just so beautiful to be on this ride together and to help each other with where God is calling us to be in all the areas of our life. So Leslie, I'm so excited for what's about to go down. We've been talking about this and we've been planning it for months, actually. And there's a lot of anticipation today because to let you guys in on what's been going on. I think it's fair for people to know that it's not just as easy as just showing up and hitting record. We actually had some attacks from the enemy trying to block this. And there's going to be a message here for somebody that's listening that deserves to hear what God has for you. So I'm excited to see that play out in our conversation here today. So Leslie, I would love for you to just pour into us and share your Fueled by Faith story or a Fueled by Faith story with our listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. As I said, I've been looking forward to being on today. I really love our connection. And it was really lovely to actually have you as part of my podcast. So I'm excited for when that airs in August. For me, my Fueled by Faith story. So it happened back in 99 when I first decided to get up out of my seat and walk forward to altar call and pledged my life, or re-pledged, because I had done it when I was a young girl, but never fully understood it. And as an adult, I had more awareness around what I was doing. But I think the moment for me that was so incredibly, it's a moment I can never forget. It's etched into my mind, it's etched into my heart, was the day when I got baptized. I was down in Fort Lauderdale, and we were at Pompano Beach here. And I was water baptized. And I remember coming out of the ocean and I was grinning ear to ear. And my friend who had actually introduced me to the Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale church home, she was waiting for me on shore. And I burst into tears. And I remember it was just tears of joy. Like, I did it because I had been talking about being baptized for years. I'd been thinking about it for years. And finally had done it. And it was just so exciting for me. But my walk with God started out really strong and then kind of wavered a little bit because I allowed the world to kind of populate my mind and my ideas and my path. And so I felt like I could let God into my life on Sundays. So I called myself a sometimes Christian because Sundays were my day. And then the rest of the week, I was doing my own life. I felt like, oh, I've got this. And it didn't happen until probably when my husband and I, we were in Mexico. We had flown down November 7th, which was the day that the president was officially elected. We had flown down to Florida, to Mexico from Fort Lauderdale. This was a plan that we had in place to go and spend a few months there. And I remember just starting to come alive, like really starting to feel myself and starting to get connected to really amazing people. New opportunities were starting to show up. And into 2021, once I started like really following a path, I feel like was divinely placed before me. I ended up being asked to be a speaker for a summit for the Praying Mothers. I believe it's called the Praying Mothers Facebook group. I can't remember exactly the name of the Facebook group, but they were asking people to come in and speak. And I started talking. I realized I wanted to talk about getting into your story because I really feel like being a part of your story is important. It's, you know, we're not meant to just, you know, we get saved. We don't just sit on the sidelines and wait for the day when we walk across and we're in this beautiful place that we know is waiting for us. And I realized right then and there, I had to make a decision. it was no longer going to be sometimes Christian wrestling. It was going to be all times. And because I realized I could be talking to people and pouring into them. This is a faithful community. And I've been asked to pour into this community of people, right? It was streaming to multiple countries around the world. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, it can't just be about me. It has to be, you know, how did I get here? Why am I talking about this? And I realized that God was the reason. Everything I have is because of him. Everything I do now, I want it to be because he's leading my way. I call him my GPS. You know, he's my GPS. How do, you know, I look to him daily, like helping me to navigate my life. And so from that experience, it started bringing me, women started reaching out to me. I started working with someone who's in South Africa, and working with her all of 2020. We started talking in 2021 and started working with her in early 2022, and worked with her the whole year, pouring into her and helping her and seeing just this beautiful transformation for her. She's a Christian woman, or, you know, she's from a Christian family, but her being able to really heal from within was really important, because that's what I really specialize in, that area, helping women heal from within. And when, you know, and just now her and I are now starting to look at different areas to work together in a collaborative sense. Yes. And this was all because I decided one day that it wasn't just me. I know he was knocking on my heart saying, okay, you have to make a decision. Because if you're being asked to step into this area, you're not stepping into this just Leslie, who is a coach. You are my daughter. And I expect, there's expectations for you. What I did for you was for your greater good. And it was because I love you. And there's so much more that can come from this if you allow me into your life fully. And so that's where it started for me, was, you know, having this this opportunity back in the summer of 2021 to speak into this community, to then have women who are now, I'm now working with another client in South Africa who is referred to me by my original South Africa client. And, you know, so being able to like work with women another parts of the world is an extremely amazing thing. And that's because I recognize that it has to be part of my life. And even so far as recently, going through some questions and writing my life vision and my mission statement, as I really want to lean in even more into my relationship with him and bring that into my business, like my coaching business. It's almost like you would say it's a faith-fueled business.
Yes.
Because without God, it's nothing. It's going to be dictated by what the world wants. And I want it to be, you know, influenced by what he wants for the people that I can, you know, relate, you know, connect to in the world.
Yes. Yes. And I love how you describe that so beautifully, because if he is like, we can't even fathom all of the things that he has for us, and the business opportunities and the collaborations that are waiting for us. And if we just fix our eyes on him, that leaves the door open for him to show us, okay, step here. Okay, step here. And I love that you said it was a decision. Because there is a part, and I want to talk about this, of deciding. Like, it's not just, because we complicate everything. Don't you feel like that?
Absolutely.
I feel like we complicate everything. And when it comes to deciding, I would love for you to just talk more about that, when you actually came to the decision of, oh, I'm actually going to step into this. It's like when we wake up every day, we decide to continue to step into that. It's not just this one time, I'm going to do it today, right? It's this, no, I'm stepping into what he has for me today, and I'm going to walk in that instead of just, okay, God, and waiting for him to do his thing, like that we still have action. So if you don't mind sharing, like, what did that look like for you for actually like saying, okay, like he called me to this, that I am going to step in.
Well, first, you know, I recognize, like, looking back over my lifetime, you know, as I was saying, as a young girl, my mom used to send me to the Salvation Army camp. She couldn't really afford to send me to any other type of camp. And I'm actually very grateful because my first memory of actually asking, you know, Jesus into my heart was I think 11 years old.
Okay.
And I remember having an actual physical reaction. Like I felt the presence inside of me. Like I just felt it. And I can't explain it any other way, but just feeling like the most beautiful love that I've ever felt. And then watching as my life is not over time, just going about my day, going about my life, the choices I was making not necessarily were for my own good. But every step or every area of my life, like every few years, not every few years, I would say like every moment I think he could find, he'd send someone into my path to start talking to me. And I would never turn them away. I was always eager to talk to someone who would talk about God and talk about Jesus. And I never turned it away, but I never took that leap or that faithful, like, you know, just walking and saying yes. And then I guess it was what really, really made me decide was I recognized that I had to make that decision. Like, okay, what are we really doing here? And then realizing as I look back over those times, like looking at all the moments that he kept coming after me, like, you know how he says he'll leave the 99 to go after the one. I was the one. And I was like blown away by how I was one of those people that he kept coming after. Like he just knew that he wanted me that much, and feeling that love and knowing that that was true was great. So I made that decision. But it wasn't just that I couldn't just decide within myself to do that. I had to also publicly declare. And so I talk about it, you know, I talk openly about my faith that, you know, it's part of who I am. And I'm proud of that. And it's going to, you know, really ruffle a lot of feathers of people who don't yet know the truth or are just not willing to open their eyes and so rigid to, you know, anything that they can't see, you know, so people are so focused on the proof in front of them rather than, you know, knowing like all of the good things that have come into their life and happened. There is a reason behind that. It's like how I work with my clients when I talk to them about self-care or about self-love, learning to love themselves. It's not looking for the to be able to see the results. You have to feel it first. And then the results start to show up and you start to see the change. You start seeing things from a different light. You start seeing things from a different perspective. And your life circumstances start to change in a beautiful way. And so I knew that it had to not only be a decision where I said, okay, in my heart, this is what I'm going to do. This is not necessarily just the right thing to do, but it makes me feel good to do that, but also that to openly say, this is why I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it. I know that everything about me, everything that's happened in my life, that's happening for me, that will happen in my life is, you know, when I'm following the path that's being laid before me, God has a beautiful life set out. And yes, there's going to be trials, but, you know, he wants me to learn and grow. And I look at it that way. So, yeah, I knew that decision was not just making it within my mind, but was like publicly declaring it as well.
Yeah, that's a beautiful add on to that, too, because if we don't go and tell, like that's what we've been commissioned to do. Like, don't just sit, don't get spiritually fat and just fed on him. We are here to go disciple and to glorify his name. And if it just sits and ends with us, it goes nowhere. It doesn't multiply. It doesn't go on. And also, it just gives us permission to go and walk in our testimony and being a living testimony, because your story will resonate with someone else. And that someone else will never know and maybe not even ever see the glory of God unless they hear your story and your testimony, what you've been through. And so it's so beautiful. I love how you said that. It's one thing to decide. It's another thing to decide and to declare and make it known that this is. And I feel led to talk about that 1 to 99. Again, I actually read that scripture this morning. So that was so like amazing that I randomly read that scripture this morning. And also watched a beautiful video of this being true, like similarly of a sheep. A friend of ours, their sheep got out and or was born. Sheep had a baby and it was born. They couldn't find the baby. They found the mother and they were looking everywhere and they were thinking the worst. And they went across the street two pastures away and heard the little, sounds, and they found it. And she said it was just so beautiful because God took care of that sheep, that brand new baby, two roads away from where the mother was. He took care. And she was like, if he's taking care of this animal, he's taking care of you. And I would love to just go back to that of like how you felt that in your story of like, oh, I am so special, and seeing like what shifted for you to see yourself in the lens of God, to see that you were worth and worthy of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from, like just listening to other people. They pour into me and they talk about, you know, the word, and they talk about how it can really shape your life and navigate. You can find like the answers are in there. And that's what I love about how, you know, all of these experiences, good and bad, are ways to show us on what's happening now, how we can use that and to navigate our lives. And so what really I loved about being the one that one of the ones that he would go after, because we all are that one.
Yes.
And what I loved about that was that I didn't feel worthy. Like I thought, you know, and of course none of us really are worthy of it, but we're so grateful because we know this is something out of love. But I never felt worthy of more. I always felt like I wasn't good enough. And that's just like based on my life circumstances of how I grew up. You know, I was born in the early 60s. My two parents from different backgrounds. My father's Black and another's white. I was born in the U.S. in New Jersey, and then I was raised in Canada. My parents were never married. They didn't stay together. My father didn't want to be a part of my life, at least openly. I knew about him because I'd seen him around, but I didn't know he was my father. He did not want me to know that. Yeah. And so that made me feel like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't wanted. And, you know, and then my mother married my stepfather, and I did take his last name before we got married. And, you know, but then they still didn't stay together. Like my stepmother and my mother did not stay together. They had two younger brothers from that union. And then there was a lot of trauma that happened afterwards, you know, through the people coming into our lives. And it was really hard time. But through all of that, my mom still was sending me to a place where I was being poured into. I was telling you about the camp that I was going to. I went there until I was 11. And I met a lot of people. What I loved was that it felt like such a loving and safe environment. And that's what I needed during those traumatic years. And I think for me, when that first time that I said those words, I felt the love, but I didn't understand what that even meant.
Yeah.
And so I just went about my life, as I was saying. And looking back, when I look at all the interactions that I had with people, whether it was on the bus, whether it was waiting at a bus stop, whether it was someone coming to my door, and even someone who was a different faith or Jehovah's Witnesses would come to my door. And I wouldn't turn them away because they're out there faithfully talking. And I wanted to just be able to talk to people. That's what I needed. But when I finally was able to be connected with this young woman, her name was Susan, and she brought me to her church in Fort Lauderdale because her husband and I were living there. And it was for the Christmas celebration.
Okay.
And I did not go forward at that time, but I went there and I was like so moved by just how many people were there and just the love and the environment. And a few months later, 5 months later, actually, I think it was May of 1999, I finally decided to go again. And I decided then that I would pledge myself. And again, but I didn't realize that I was rededicating. And then I thought I was dedicating.
Yeah.
That's how I looked at it.
Yes.
And then, you know, being able to then get baptized really made a difference. And then so having Susan, and then there was another woman who I worked with at the office, her name was Rose. So the two of them pouring into me as I was asking questions, as I was reading or asking questions, that's beautiful for me. And I really loved that. But again, as I said, I still allowed the world to interfere with my journey. And it did take that time. And so I felt like even as a Christian walking the walk, he was still coming after me, the one. You know, still part of the flock. It was like, okay, come on, come back. And finally making that decision and declaring it, I'm back. And yes, this is what I want.
Yes. I thank you for sharing that and for being open to sharing that, because I know that you're not alone in that. And so many of us are walking around feeling whatever our background is or whatever we grew up with or our childhood, our circumstances, a lot of it has defined us. And it's when we get to know the Lord and realize that our identity is in nothing else except being his child, shackles fall, chains break. It allows us to realize, yes, that was circumstantial, but look at all the goodness that came out of it, that you were seeking actively. You were wanting to speak with people and just learn and just get in rooms of people. And that's very inspiring and encouraging to other people. So I feel like community is huge, and you spoke to it in getting people around you to pour into you. Is that something that you feel like has kind of nurtured you in your walk?
Absolutely. I think it's important to have people around you who support you, but also not everyone in my life is a Christian, but they support me in my endeavors and things that I do. I know that I can turn to them for support. But I also want to, and I've actively sought women who are walking in faith, because I want that connection, you know, women who are able to pour into me that way as well. It's important to have that community, and being able to be in those other communities with women who support me, who may not be walking in faith. Yeah. If I can be that light.
Yeah,
that can show them like my faith is helping me and I'm open about it. My faith is what drives me, you know, every day. It's what fuels me. It's what helps me to make decisions. It's what help is bringing those opportunities and those connections, the ideas, all of that is not by my own. And I might think about it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right answer. But when I get that into that divine, I don't know if it's calling, but yeah, maybe it's that push, that little nudge, like this is the right way to go. I'm excited for it. And I will declare that that's, you know, it's because he is the one, you know, that's doing this. And you had mentioned a little while ago that about waking up every day. One of the things I think is really important is I wake up every day and I say, thank you for another day, because not everyone gets that chance. And what, you know, not everyone gets that chance that may not wake up, that may have missed their chance to, you know, to declare that they want to follow God. To follow Jesus. And so I recognize that every day is a gift, you know, when you look at, especially when you say the present, well, it is a present because it's a present. It's another gift of the day that we get to go out into the world and whatever that message is that we're meant to speak out loud, to inspire someone else to live their best life. That is a gift. And like you were saying, it's not about, I recognize, I think too, when I made that decision that I have been given the greatest gift of all and I cannot waste this anymore. And that's why I was saying to you that I recently went back to be able to wrote my life vision and my mission statement. And one of those parts is really about, you know, bringing in, you know, my faith into my teachings, because I feel like I don't want it just to be about, you know, me on what I do and the things that I bring and all of those things. Again, are not because I did it on my own. Yeah. I want it to be like, it's like how you are fueled by faith. That's what I want my faith to fuel me every day.
Yes. Because it's with that that we get to pour. You've mentioned the word pour so much throughout this interview. And I looked this up yesterday because I got this amazing vision of the difference between the word pour and the word siphon. Because so many of us feel siphoned. We feel like we're being drawn from and we have nothing else to give. And when we pour, it's a readily steady flow of water, of pouring through us. And I am here for a steady flow that pours through me. Steady to me is just showing that it's always there and it's not fluctuating. It is steady in all that it has. When we siphon, it empties out. It's drawn from. There's at one point or another, there's nothing left. And I love how you have spoken of that, of like people pouring into you and people pouring, because when we're poured into by other people, we overflow. And then that's where this this overflowing goes to, of it's not about us. It's about him and what he has for us. And I know that he's on a mission to get more disciples to further his message, to further the kingdom. And when we overflow in that, it goes from cup to cup to cup, and we impact your family, which then goes and impacts other families. That's impacting my children. And I have been worshiping, openly worshiping for about a year and a half now, to where I am comfortable lifting my hands and raising my hands and dancing. I did not grow up around that. I grew up very constricted, and even like my family would judge people that would do that at the dinner table on Sunday afternoon. And I always looked at these women of like, wow, they seem so free. They seem so free. But even though I am open in my worship, my family does not worship like I do. My children do not worship like I do. But we went to an event last week where my daughter saw all these other people worshiping. And now when we're in the car, because of other people pouring into her, she's now lifting her arms and just flowing in worship, it's not because of me. It's because the Lord showed his light through someone else to touch my daughter. And that to me has opened up, wow, it's not about me. I don't just get to influence my family. There's other people that can impact. So like, what are we doing as the kingdom? What can you do? How can God use you to go and impact other people's worlds? It's just amazing how that works, right? I mean, does that just fire you up? I just want to go walk around and be like, here you go. You know, like, here's the joy. You mentioned earlier about using God as a GPS. I would love for you to, like, I know so many people, and it's our earthly beings that want to be like, okay, how can I tangibly learn ABC of do this, right? Because that's how we can apply. And it's so true. But how would you describe using this, you know, God as a GPS, using that model or that just that visionary tool for us to kind of plug into him more?
Yeah. So I think it was last year at some point, I'd been in a coaching program. I'd been learning about some things, and we had, I believe, 8 weeks of like three coaching calls a week, which was incredible to me. And I made sure I showed up to each one of them because I thought I'm going to learn as much as I can about business. And I remember I had somebody that I had worked with that she needed to back out of being in the coaching experience with me. And I automatically looked and thought it was because of me. You know, I started like blaming myself, like, did I do something wrong? And it was, she had life circumstances that were happening for her. And I needed to learn that extend that, not necessarily didn't extend the grace, but I had to allow that not to hold me in this place of feeling like there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I actually asked God, like I said, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? I actually was in tears because I was so upset thinking I'd done something wrong with me that I wasn't good enough. And I got crickets. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're not going to answer me. You're not going to speak to me. And at that time, I had an app on my phone, Meditation Moments. It was the app I had on my phone. And they would send quotes. And it popped up maybe 10 minutes after on my phone saying, sometimes silence is the answer. I was like blown away. And I thought, you're answering me. You're telling me sometimes silence is the answer. And then So I listened and I just stayed still and allowed myself to listen. And it was, you know, you have a community that's supporting you right now. Tomorrow you have a call. Ask for help. I've always been one who's absolutely loved the experience. And it wasn't always this way, but the experience of having in a group community, in a group setting where I'm open and vulnerable and getting poured into by other people, helping me get through it. Now, it's not always easy to do, but the reason why I found it, I've been so open to that is because I had that first experience back in 2019. I was at an event. It was a live event. There were about 50 women and they were filming it. And the coach asked the question, who would like to come up and work with me in a one-on-one setting? And I just, my hand flew up and I had no control over that hand. I literally felt like someone pulled my hand up and my hand went up and she called me up. And we worked through some things that I thought I had let go. Mm-hmm. And well, she had actually invited me, if we back up a little bit, she had invited me to go there for free. And it was like, oh, I have to go. And it was a 2-day event. And when she invited me up and we worked through it, and I felt this immediate relief by just having that experience. And then after sharing my story, having other women come up to me saying, thank you, because that's me. Your story is me. And that opens me up to like, okay, this is what I can do. This is how I can help other people, because of that experience, how I felt after that entire weekend. I was driving home at the end of day two. I couldn't stop smiling. And so people probably driving by in their car were looking at me thinking, what is wrong with this girl? But I could not stop smiling. And so that moment back in last year, when I had that feeling of like, oh, I'm alone. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. But then being led to like, say, you have a community. I want you to go and get poured into. And that's what I did. And it made me feel better because I uncovered something which was really powerful that I use now in my coaching, which is I have been saying for quite some time that everyone is born to add value to this world. But there were two words that I was not openly saying that I didn't realize I was really subconsciously thinking. And the two words were, but me. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking those words. And so I started realizing that we have this, I call it the secret bubble, are words that we don't speak out loud, but they are still influencing us. Even if we're not speaking them, we're thinking them, we're allowing them to influence us. And so he helped me to uncover that as another layer to how I can help other people.
Yeah.
And it was through that really helped me. And that was one of my first, I think, ways of recognizing that this is the way to do it, is to really like find time to listen. Like every morning now, I sit here and I close my eyes and I just allow the silence and allow myself to just really be present so I can start talking and have that conversation and be able to thank him for another day, but also to thank him for the things in my life, for the connections, for the opportunities, for the insight, for the path, asking for guidance, what's your next step? Where, how can I serve you? This is like a beautiful way to start my day. And I just recognize that was part of being, allowing my life to be, as you would say, fueled by faith.
Yes. That I had chill bumps the whole time that you were telling that. And it's so true of us. And the bubble, the thought bubble that you have, we all have that. And that is where it's super important for us to take those thoughts captive and be reminded of who's in control of us. And because God gave us free will, right? And so we are in control of what we think and what we say. But when we attribute, okay, what are my beliefs, right? What do I actually believe? Because if I'm saying it for other people, but I don't believe it for myself, then it's not true for anybody. And so let's like take that captive. And it sounds so cliche because I remember being like, oh yeah, take your thoughts captive. But sometimes, and I told my husband a couple weeks ago, I was having a day where it was a moment by moment of taking those head trash thoughts that come up and being like, we don't believe that. I do not believe that. That is not from the Lord. That is not what he's called me to do. And really pumping myself back up with my true belief. And yes, it takes effort because just think of like how long you have believed those thoughts. Just turning them around won't just happen in a day. It will take just as much time or not, but you know, it will take time and effort to turn those around for it to become your true belief system, for it to be acted out. So I love how you touched on that and bringing him in. And I would love for you to share with us how self-care comes in with this as well, because I shared with you and I had the opportunity to be on your podcast of my morning routine is self-care to me. Like, honey, if we do not speak, if we speak before my morning routine, you're going to see a completely different side of me. It's so like the Lord, when he comes in with me in the morning, I get on fire. And I would love for you to share with like self-care and what that can look like, what that, and also like, how do you discover that? How do we discover self-care for us?
Yeah. So the reason why self-care, first of all, is so important to me, I'm really passionate about it, is because I've just started noticing a trend of women, especially because I am on the online space a lot, and I'm seeing the trend of women who are openly now declaring how they are taking time off from their business because they're feeling burnt out, they're feeling their relationships are suffering, and I recognize that a lot of the things, like those things that happen, are because we're not taking care of us. And things like, we look at self-care a lot of the time as the feel-good things, like, you know, getting our hair done, our nails done, getting massages, the mani-pedis, going out for lunch with our friends, buying ourselves a gift. Those are great. They make you feel good. But there's also the other essentials that, like, for example, starting your day off with a win, I think is really important. Prayer for me is really important to start my day. That's a win for me because I actually feel that I'm really setting myself up for success. I also believe, too, is that throughout the day when you're working, you have to find time to take a break away from everything. That's important,
yeah,
to allow yourself to really be able to focus and have energy. How you take care of your body is also important to your hydration and your nutrition. Even getting up and movement is important. Another thing I really feel is important, that a lot of the time, you know, women entrepreneurs, you know, we become our own bosses. And it's almost like that the 9-to-5 mentality of working an 8-hour day becomes a 10-15-hour day instead, because they don't know how to structure their time. And so it's learning how to structure your time well, that you can get things done effectively and efficiently, but having a hard stop at the end of your day so that, like you do at 4 o'clock, you are wife and mom, family time, and that is important. And that the reason why that's so important is because your family is important. They are the ones that are going to pour into you right directly, you know, because they are with you all the time.
Yeah.
And so for me, self-care became very important. It was something that was, I feel, I was divinely pushed this way because of what I was seeing. Those things were coming across my feed. I believe that they were put there in front of me on purpose. And then I was pushed in this direction to take what I've already learned, what I already do, and recognizing that self-care was already part of what I was doing already with my clients, but I didn't recognize that. And so being, you know, discovering this part, the side of my business, which I feel is so important, has allowed me then to like, okay, how do I use this? And how do I help women figure out self-care? Because it can look different for everyone. I am not a mom, so my schedule is a lot more flexible in how I schedule out my day, the things that I do. If someone is a mom like yourself, you have, your children are still young, and getting them into school, getting ready for school, and then coming back and then structuring time for you,
yeah,
and then for your business. And then again, not only just for you as family, but also you as husband and wife, because that relationship is so important, because it's teaching your children healthy relationship values and what that looks like. So when they're older and they get married and have a family of their own, they have something to look back on, like, oh, mom and dad showed us how to do this.
Yeah.
We have this. And this was fueled again by faith about bringing this into the mix.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it's that he showed me that it looks different for everyone and it's okay. And it also will look different on different days.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the same routine every day.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the same routine every month. Like you say, when we talk, you like to switch things up. And I think that's good. It's healthy because that keeps you motivated and doing the things to fill your cup.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of yourself, you will feel like you are being siphoned, because everything in the world will be taking from you. and you're not filling back up that reserve, you're allowing the reserve to be drained. And so that's partly why I believe that self-care is so important, is taking the time to not only do the feel-good things like what I mentioned earlier, but also making sure that you're taking care of yourself. And also for me, because it's such a huge part of my life and important to me, is how am I being poured into spiritually? What does that look like in my life? Because again, everything else is great. The world is a very interesting place to be living in today. And if I was to walk it alone, I don't know how I will be able to get through all of those obstacles and over all of these mountains and valleys and all of those things that come before me, all of the things that, you know, the enemy puts in our way to make us feel like we're worthless, not worthy. And that's why I think that self-care was put in my path. It's something I'd already been doing, but now he's showing me this beautiful way to really bring it, not only to individually talking to women, but now I'm expanding and looking for it to become a more of a business to business, you know, working with women-owned businesses, you know, to help them with their employees or staff, and help them be able to have really good relationships with them. Because when you can treat your relationship, your employees as not just like someone who's sitting in the seat, filling a seat and doing a job for you, but actually an important component to running your business well and take care of them, they're going to feel that. When they feel that, you're going to see results from that. And so that's partly where I've been shown is a way for me to start moving into. So I'm still right now investigating those pieces, but that's where I see it. And I think that's where self-care, I believe, is like the next part to, you know, this well-grounded mind, body, soul experience on this planet.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I feel like that is just a beautiful place for us to just cap this. And Leslie, I would love for you to share, because you ended with what you do and how you help women. I would love for you to share where they can find you to potentially work with you or speak with you and connect with you.
I think the best way would just be to reach out to me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. My name is spelled Leslie. My last name, Gaudet. Reach out to me on Facebook, message me, and then we can go from there. I think that's the best way, because that's the place where you'll find me most of the time.
Amazing. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for being on. This is so good. And God is so good. He made it happen. Praise Him for doing that. And I just, I pray that this message blesses you guys that are listening. And please leave us a comment, review in the comments below to let us know how this blessed you. Share it with someone that maybe this hits you and you think, oh, they need to hear that. Share it to them, and tag us on social media when you listen to us, all the things. But we thank you so much for you guys listening in, and we hope you have a blessed day. Go and be encouraged. Thank you so much for listening to the Fueled by Faith podcast. We would love it if you could go and leave us a 5-star review and how this podcast is impacting you. This will help us move the needle forward to get this podcast out to more and more communities, more and more women that need to be fueled by faith.